What's going on, Clipper Nation? We're coming at you fresh out of victory.
It was a victory, and it was scintillating at the very end, not so much the beginning.
But in case you're unfamiliar, we're Locked On Clippers, part of Locked On NBA Network. We come at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers news. It's me, William, the opinion update.
And I am positive Chuck Montclair.
And as I said, we are going to kick things off with a recap of that 90-88 win over the Thunder. It was gritty.
It was gritty.
A bunch of other adjectives similar to that.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit about what we liked, what we didn't like, because there were some good things. I mean, obviously, right off the bat, just the Paul George game winner was beautiful to see.
That was good. It was a very thin dub. It was a stingy dealer's dub today, I would say.
So we also have our Twitter Tuesday for you.
Oh, yeah.
Every single Tuesday. Thank you so much for those who send in questions ahead of time. If you ever want to ask a question, we'd love to feature it on the show.
Come through.
Come through. You can ask those at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler. And then what else have we got for these fine folks?
It's all Twitter Tuesday today after the recap. We got a bunch of questions. It's awesome.
All right, we're good to go.
Let's do it. So the Clippers defeated the old Clippers at Staples Center. It was 90-88. We'll say this.
Nice.
The vibes were good. The reunion vibes were great.
The reunion vibes were great. New Coke is always better than old Coke.
Very, very true. The tribute video for Gallo and Shea was good.
I wish it would have been a little more.
A little longer. It was also like in the middle of the game, and like Gallo stood up and waved, but like Shea was still in the rotation, so he was just like, I don't care. This is fine.
Yeah.
After the game, he had nice things to say, but like it was kind of weird to be like, wave now, guy who's getting defensive rotations.
Yeah. I don't know. I would have liked... I mean, I guess it's like how much fanfare can you make about the whole thing before it becomes weird?
For sure.
You know?
But there was all love.
It was all love.
Which was great.
It was all good.
There was, absent from tonight's game, Kawhi Leonard did not play.
Who?
Were you... I mean, I get it. I want to be healthy for the playoffs. These games do matter.
And the season.
And the season. Would have been nice to see, you know, the quasi-full strength new Clippers versus the old Clippers.
Yeah, just also, I mean, we talked about this in our game preview, but, you know, symbolically, given what we did give up for that trade...
Would have been cool.
It would have been nice to see kind of all hands on deck, but...
But that knee contusion must have been something that he took.
Oh, I'm sure.
If he's still out. Also, maybe some other overall in shape questions, but now what are you going to do? So, let's get into what we liked.
Yeah, for sure.
This defense.
Yes.
We have not seen a single minute of an even close to full strength defensive rotation for this team.
That's very true.
It has not even been close to materializing.
And while there was a lot of good stuff tonight, I will say there were some Paul George kind of slips. There was a bunch of different little things, but I agree. Overall, I did like the defense. You know, Doc said it. I forget what game we were talking about where the defense did win the game.
He said it like five times.
Yeah.
The defense can win. You just don't want your defense to lose you the game.
Exactly. And this one, he said he felt like the defense was able to kind of like tread water until the offense could catch up, which was very apt.
We 37% shooting from the Thunder from the floor, 26% from three. Some of this is missed shots.
Yes.
But
for
say,
sure.
You know, say we shoot better than 28% from three like we did. This is a mud hole stomping if our threes are going in.
For sure.
I love the defense. And I think we got to talk about the Paul George dagger.
Wow. So this one
came
down on the wire in a fashion I was not expecting.
Yeah, the game was not exciting really for 97% of it.
Yeah.
And then Clippers were down 86-88 with 31 seconds left. Doc drew up a play. He said he didn't really know if, you know, he just wanted to get Paul the shot.
He wanted to get Paul open.
He wasn't really that open.
He was not.
He wasn't open. It went in. The Clippers then were up 89-88. And then a coach's challenge actually worked
yeah.
in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, there was a Mo Harkless foul on Gallo. What was ruled at the time, a Mohawkless foul on Gallo that would have given him...
He would have at least most likely tied the game at the very least. They were only down one.
Yeah.
It's Gallo. He loves the basket. Basket loves him.
It's very true. So Doc was able to challenge it.
Couldn't believe it.
I mean, as soon as he challenged, I was like, okay, well, great. Well, we lost our last timeout.
Everyone thought that. Yeah.
We lost our last timeout and
maybe the game's
not getting overturned.
Great.
So it's nice to see, and obviously, you know, it's extra nice that it worked out in our favor, but I think just in general for the NBA, it's nice to see a decision get overturned. It's nice to see a
especially
coach's decision.
In the fourth.
Yes.
Because the fourth, like, this season, Justin 100%. Russo had some crazy stat where it was, like, 9% of all coaches' challenges in the fourth were getting overturned, which is, like, it, like, exponentially goes down as the game goes on. That's when challenges, like, very hard.
Okay.
That was great. Doc, after in the presser, was great. The first thing he said was, you know, I think I've changed my mind. I think the challenge is
I
good
love
for
the challenge.
I love the challenge.
I don't know why I think that, but it's good.
What else did you like from this game?
The five rotation worked out really well.
Minutes were split up, actually.
Yeah, so everybody out there in Clipper Nation, I'm sure you've heard, has been hooting and hollering for more Zoom minutes.
More Zoom minutes.
And they were there tonight. He had 20 minutes. He was efficient in that time. 12-10. He played some really solid defense.
I know we talk about how he's improved everything on his game that we wanted to improve.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel like he's underappreciated. He keeps us in games, not in the traditional getting buckets and stuff like that, but his rim protection and the game against the Jazz, mm-hmm. against Gobert, I think it was the second one. Mm-hmm. He hung with Gobert in the first quarter and he was the only reason it wasn't a blowout.
All right.
He's been clutch. But
no, he's been very, very solid. I think, I kind of think that this is around
his limit,
the max for what you're gonna see, from Zoo.
Yeah, unless it's like going
20 minutes.
Unless it's going, you know, career level crazy best. I think you're totally right.
Or something bad happens.
Oof, my brain didn't even go there. yeah, I think he's at this cap. Trez had, I mean, he led all scores.
Yep.
He had 28-12. He was 7-9 in the fourth.
Incredibly efficient.
Is he one of the best just closers in general right now?
I mean, I just...
The last 2 minutes are Trez's.
It's a thing that it's like, and once again, this podcast is never with a divisive bullshit, but...
Whoa, it feels like you're about to hurl it.
Trez is just the closer, and I think that, like...
I like
Zoo, and I think that he plays well.
Trez is the closer.
Trez is just a... The closer.
You can't beat his energy.
Yeah.
He has, I'm going to say
he's a little bit more mobile and stuff.
I'm going to say it. He has the best hands for any center in the league.
I mean.
In terms of catching pass, in terms of finishing, he has the best hands. You're not matching his energy.
No.
He, in his game, is perfectly built for getting the crowd excited late in the game.
Yeah.
That's just what he does. I think I had tweet where he leads the league in exciting buckets with 2 minutes left. Because it's absolutely true.
All right, so what didn't we like?
Honestly, this game as a whole.
I have to agree.
It was one of the most, like,
it was
just from a, if someone had never seen a basketball game before and you showed them this game up until the Paul George winner,
yeah,
they would be like, why is such a large building built for people to watch this kind of game?
agreed. It was it was clunky, and
it was 90-80.
it was clunky, and I think that you can chalk it up to a lot of things. I mean, there were points where even with Paul George in the lineup, like, the offense was so
weird. Man started
weird and, like, not really clicking at all. In the third quarter, both teams combined for 2 of 12 from the paint.
From the paint!
Which is...
We shot 28% from three. They shot something like 32%.
Not a lot of fast action in this one. Both teams combined for 12 fast break points.
That blew my mind when you read that.
So the transition play was lacking.
This was a game from early thousands. This is like watching a Pistons game. But we got the dub, which is great. Terrence Mann got the start.
Offensively,
not there. I think he went 0-7 from the field.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of those things. He's going to have ups and downs offensively as a player. I would have liked to see maybe just some more of the confidence that we had seen last game, getting to the rim and such.
And passing. Because if he's not going to be scoring, he needs to be facilitating. And that wasn't even really there last night. But Doc talked about this in the postgame presser. He had said he was kind of like, he said Terrence Mann like has never seen this kind of defense before.
It's true.
Okay, so he was trapping a bunch.
It's true. It is a more aggressive defense, and even though their defense thus far isn't like where it has been in past seasons, they're still a solid defensive team.
Yeah, for sure. They're anytime you're a rookie and Chris Paul is on the floor with you, he's going to better you. It's just he knows the game. What else do we not like?
The turnovers. So I like...
Yeah. PG had 7.
We're going to see how much I'm going to end up harping on this for the rest of the season because it...
Before you get too tired.
Before I get too tired. But we're 23rd in the league in turnovers, which is the bad way, not the good way, just in case you were wondering. That's not, the 23rd lowest or anything like
that. Yeah, it's bad. That's out of 30.
And we're averaging right around 17 a game, and that trend just stayed stagnant tonight.
Yeah, for sure.
Which I think is a little bit more troublesome when we're not making buckets happen.
Yeah, and thankfully we have that defense to fall back on.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if we don't have as good of a defense as we do.
And honestly, some of them, I think even just cutting, if you could cut 3 out on a consistent basis.
You mean if you could cut out every single time Jermichael gets a traveling call?
That was right where I was headed. That was actually right where I was headed.
The dude travels.
It's just little things like that. It's like just tightening that kind of stuff up, which, it's understandable right now for where everybody's at.
Hiccups, obviously. Growing pains, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Shin splints.
And we did manage to drag them down to our level, too. So
hey, that's if we're going into the trash, you're coming to the trash with us.
And then just the last thing that I didn't like is we didn't get to the line well.
They took that away from us really well.
They were extremely disciplined in that regard. We took half the amount of free throw attempts they did. Stat that shocked me from tonight, Lou Williams did not attempt a single free throw in this contest.
That's got to be the first time in years?
Yes.
I got one that might have. Oh, he also had the second best plus minus.
Yeah, he was plus 7 behind.
Who?
Jermichael Green.
There you go. What did you... You have a segment in here. What did you meh? Because I had nothing I meh in this game.
Okay, so...
Other than, I will say, this is actually one thing I didn't like.
Yeah.
Chris Paul was doing his Chris Paul BS flop.
Yeah.
He did one on, I think it was on Paul George?
It was, yes. Could have hurt him.
And Chris Paul almost hurt himself.
Yeah.
Because he was down. Anyway... Someone had a great tweet. They were like, oh, Chris Paul doing Chris Paul things to the Clippers and Paul George things to the Thunder. Basketball circle of life, which is what it really was. All right, what did you meh?
I'm mad, and this is probably going to be an ongoing thing for me, this notion of PG at the 4.
I'm into it, but...
So there was a lineup...
When full strength, I should say, I'm into it. Sorry, go ahead.
There was a lineup of Terrence Mann, Patrick Beverley, Mo Harkless, Paul George and Zubats, they played about 13 minutes together. Doc talked a little bit about this lineup in the postgame.
It was the first time they ended the game with Paul George at the 4.
Yeah, about liking the ability to kind of slot George at the 4.
You're not with it?
I just don't see the... I don't see the point.
Fair.
I think that there's different options at the 4 there. That make a little bit more sense to me.
With PG still out there, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like maybe Kawhi. I'm just being a dick.
I
don't know. I think when we're at full strength, it'll be interesting to see. But if the defensive matchup isn't too intense, I'm for it.
Yeah. I think that's fair. Anyways, this lineup overall was 22, 12, and 5 Oof. In 13 minutes. 36% from the field, 27% from 3. I just don't think, and obviously it's a very small sample size.
Yeah.
I don't know that this best displays Paul George's skill sets.
For sure. I would agree with that. How you feeling?
I'm feeling all right. Yeah, it's on to the next one, honestly.
Yeah, I'm feeling.
That's how I feel.
I'm feeling we got the dub. Paul George still shot 50%.
Yeah.
He
missed every shot from three except for the game winner, though, I believe. Let me double check.
3 of 7. Oh, okay. So close. He had 18 on 15%, added 7 boards. I mean, yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm on to this game on Wednesday. Really hope Kawhi plays. That'd be fun to see. Happy Beverly played tonight. Also, I like how Magruder looks a lot on this team. I'll talk about that another time.
Oh, that's a great combo for another time.
Coming up after this, we have a whole mess of Twitter Tuesday questions. Okay. Speaking of Paul George, at J-Bos, maybe it's J-Boos, with Paul George having such a nice start after missing the first 10 games, what are the odds of him having an even better season this year than his third place MVP vote getting one last year?
Well, here's the thing.
If it keeps up like this, pretty good. He's got a game winner under his belt.
I was hoping that he wasn't going to have to shoulder the type of load that he did last year.
Okay, this is a solo podcast.
I don't see him taking really that much of a regression. I think the difference that I would have been hesitant about is like just looking at the sheer numbers.
Yeah, the volume's going to go down from three probably.
Yeah, the number of touches and shots and everything is going to go down with Kawhi out there. But man, it seems like Paul George is going to be playing every game except for the ones that he's already missed so far.
Yeah, I mean, he's got those new shoulders. I think third place MVP actually might be where he gets this year.
I agree.
Which is great.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get the MVP. I think that he deserves it, but...
Oh, as of now, for sure. Nick Jacobs asked, with a recent increase in the efficiency of Rodney and Jerome, do we see Shamit's minutes taking a slight hit when he returns?
Yes.
Really? I was going to say no, because Jerome, for instance, today was 0 of 2 in 10 minutes. And Magruder was 0 of 7 and 20. So, I mean, they're going to have to really be hitting a stride.
I'm saying, yeah, two things have to happen. they have to be hitting their stride. And B, I think that it's going to depend on how the rotations work out in that starting lineup.
Yeah, because we don't even know if Shams...
In the starting lineup.
You know what I mean? Not in a bad way, yeah.
Because I think the way that it looks right now, at least, I don't know, given somewhat of what Doc has said, I think Sham would come back into that starting lineup once healthy. If that is the case...
The shooting's wild.
If that is the case, I don't really see Rodney or Jerome being able to eat into his minutes.
They'd have to hit some kind of stride. I think Magruder... It's maybe in there when we need
a stop or go hound that guy.
Yeah, we're going to start you. Because I thought Magruder was going to start against the Thunder.
Yeah.
And it was going to be Bev and Magruder because, I mean, that's a pretty tough backcourt to score on if you're the team. So maybe just in spot minutes.
Yeah.
But not overall. I don't think overall it's happening.
Yeah, I think it gets a little bit more interesting if you assume that Shamit moves to a bench role,
yeah,
and then you have these other two kind of pieces. I mean, obviously Shamit's still at the top of that pecking order, but the minutes get a little bit more.
And when he comes back initially, they're going to ease him in. It's a high ankle sprain. It's a very easy thing to kind of re-aggravate. So I think they'll ease him in. Clip City Chip City 82 asks, something we've actually been talking about. Do we think Lou and Trez are going to have their egos hurt when they notice that they're not getting the ball as much? And then Fuji Fun Guy Kawhi, who we didn't see at the game tonight. Sorry we missed you.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Fuji Fun Guy.
Who has the best dunk so far this year after Trez?
Okay, so first one, do we think Lou and Trez are going to have their egos hurt when they notice they're not getting the ball as much? I think
no, because Trez is already getting the ball a ton, especially in the fourth if he's a closer. Because he's a closer, so I don't think his ego is getting hurt in any way because he's the closing big.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I don't think that they're going to have their egos hurt. I think Lou especially is going to be grateful for the help at this stage of his career. You know, I mean, he knows what he can do. He doesn't have to. Yeah. I just feel like, you know.
He's proven it for 15 years. How many years? 12 years? Like.
So I don't see that one. I don't see.
I think they'll talk about it. Have some spirited discussions.
Yeah.
If things maybe get a rough patch or something like that.
Yeah.
But overall, I don't think it's hurting any crazy. It's not causing rifts.
I wouldn't think so. I think that these guys are. This is a team where people kind of buy into their roles, and I think that there might be some difficulty, but I don't think there's going to be like a lot of hurt egos.
Yeah, and then who's the best dunker besides Tress?
Oof,
this one's easy for me.
Pat Patterson,
of course. That's the only answer. Only answer, dude. Or Kawhi, because it always feels like kind of a surprise.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, he dunked it. And when Kawhi dunks, he holds the basketball like a normal person holds an orange.
Uh-huh.
So it just like, he's just like placing it into the basket.
Oh, and then also we got to shout out Mo.
Oh, yeah. Mo's a good dunker.
Mo has great dunks.
I think Fuji Fungi Kawhi had Mo as his choice too.
Oh,
great. I didn't put it in there. That was my bad.
Way to go, Fuji Fungi.
To close out the first segment of Twitter Tuesdays. We have kind of some shade in this question.
What do you got?
Tony Perjwal, I apologize if I pronounced that incorrectly. Do you think Lou's defensive issues are because most of the time he's only below average, bad defender on the floor, and hence teams target him, or he's just not trying this year because of increased minutes? I think the first point nails it. He's just the most...
I don't think that's fair that he's the only below average defender on the floor.
No, I don't think that's fair at all. But I think his point to he's being targeted specifically.
Yeah, so I mean, 100%. Flaws look worse. Yeah, 100%.
Who's the worst defender than Lou on the team?
I mean, I think that there are stretches where Shamet is as bad.
Fair.
I don't want to get into this. I don't want to.
I mean, he's just not a good defender.
I'm not trying to get into a bunch of.
He doesn't. It's not like right he's. Now. It's not like Lou prides himself on defense.
No, it's true. It's true. And there have been some stretches where it's looked especially bad this year.
But I think the minutes thing is true too. It's like, I think it's a combination of both, kind of, because like Doc said, he was going to play hella minutes before everyone was full strength.
Yes.
And he has been. He played 37 that one game, first night of a back to back. And the second game, I think he logged 25 or something like that.
But I don't think that he is not trying this year. And it's also not increased minutes. It's like pretty much par for the course for what Lou has been doing on this team.
Yeah, I think the miles maybe are catching up with him.
For sure.
But yeah, I don't think it's an effort thing.
I also just think in terms of the miles thing, I think that he might actually be the best cardiovascularly trained guy on the squad.
He rarely looks tired.
I would not, like, if you were to say...
You can tell maybe when the shots are going up a little later, he's looking a little tired, but, like...
But I think if you were to say, like, have 15 treadmills run out and say...
Run as many laps
everyone
as
on the Clippers,
go.
Run.
Lou wins.
I think Lou outpaces people.
And I think Trez dies trying to beat Lou. In a good way. Like, he's like, I can't let this dude win. Coming up after this, we have some more Twitter Tuesdays. Want to give a shout out. It's Sam Cassell's birthday, the day that we're recording this. He's 50.
Happy 50th, Sam.
Happy 50th. Hope you have a great one tonight. Okay, final segment of the show, Twitter Tuesdays. Will, I got a quick question for you, though.
What do you got?
Where can I take my hard-earned money and just completely put it up to a game of chance?
Do you mean, I mean, that sounds like the lottery or something other for idiots, but if you wanted to take your hard-earned cash and then use your basketball knowledge to prove you have what it takes.
What?
MyBookie.ag is the place to go, where they make it easy to play and even easier to get paid. Use promo code LockedOnNBA, and MyBookie will match 50% of your first deposit. Listening on the go, if you can't visit MyBookie right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On at LockedOnPodcast.com/offers.
Fantastic. Okay, at UK Clipper, this is something we talked about in the press box today.
Okay.
Was Jermichael's shooting last year a fluke, and is that why we're seeing inconsistencies?
So, I mean, I believe he was shooting at like 53% from three at one point.
For us, it was in the 40s. I'm going to double check, but I think he's just regressing to the mean a little bit. I hope.
I mean, I guess it was fluky in that he shot very, very, very well.
So efficient was the thing. There were nights where he was going 8 of 10, 9 of 10, 7 of not, those kinds of things.
But so I don't think it's a fluke in that he's not a good shooter or that he's a necessarily even an inconsistent shooter.
41% for us last year.
41%.
Damn. And 40% for the Grizzlies. So, I think he's just a good shooter.
I think that it's going to be right around that mark. I think that we're seeing some, we've definitely, he's at 22% right now, I believe, on the season.
He's at 39% on the season.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just his last couple of games where the shooting has been really bad.
From three, he's at 39%. Sorry.
Nothing to worry. It seems like nothing to worry about there. Seems like business as usual.
Same thing with Shamit, where it's like early season rust. People are still knowing how to play together.
Yeah.
The shots are open. Sometimes they're hard to hit.
That's true.
Very true. Oh, man. Whammy giveaway wants to know if we should bring Tibbs in as a defensive coordinator. The news of Tibbs at Clippers practice has him abuzz with this possibility. Tibbs was also at the game. I locked eyes with him, and he yelled at me to walk faster.
No, I don't think so.
Because Doc, was pretty candid, I thought, in the pregame presser about how much Tibbs was kind of already involved.
Yeah.
He's kind of a consultant.
Yeah, well, involved in that he's around the organization.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to practice and he's giving input.
Yeah.
Which, that's exactly what a consultant does. And I think that's the perfect relationship for it right now.
He's good friends with Doc.
Yeah. I don't think hiring him in an official capacity brings him anything extra than what Doc is getting when he decides to pop into practices and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I still think it's one of those things. Well, I was gonna say more heads can't hurt, but I think too many cooks in the kitchen is also.
We already added Ty Lue.
Yeah, we already got kind of a lot of cooks,
especially defensive cooks. We got Kalamian and Ty, add Tibbs in there.
Yeah,
that's three big cooks, three big chef's hats running around.
They have to split one.
They're all wearing at the same time. behind.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want him to be in the official capacity as a defensive coordinator. I just think that the game has a little bit passed Tibbs by too far for that.
I don't know. This game tonight seemed like it was ripe for some Tibbs basketball.
And I hope that it's the last game that we see like that.
_AODTS_ wants to know when we're signing Jamal Crawford. First person to ask this.
Okay, so...
Never.
It's like the same thing as the Sean Livingston idea. I love it from a narrative perspective. Doc has even talked about how kind of disappointed he was that Jamal wasn't a guy that they were able to get a ring.
Yeah, definitely.
And he talked about that with the Clipper team this year. You know, there's guys like Lou. There's guys like Paul George. There's guys, you know, who've been in this league for a long time and they do a lot of the right things. And you just hope that you can get him a ring.
Yeah.
And
I think his quote was like, it's time.
It's time. Exactly. Yeah. And I hope the same thing for Jamal. I don't think it's going to happen.
I just don't know when we play him on our team. If we didn't have Lou Williams, I'd be like, yeah, let's sign him immediately.
We talked to some scouts from the Hawks who were pretty down on old Jamal.
Yeah. They were just like, I mean, there's kind of a reason he can kind of shoot still.
Yeah.
He'll put up 50.
I mean,
sometimes.
He had 51 last night.
Yeah, so. But I just don't. If we're already, you know, if people are already freaking out about what we're going to do with Lou on the defensive end of the playoffs,
I was going to say,
I don't know how Jamal Crawford makes your brain any better.
I don't know how a roster with him and Lou really works.
Because they're not sharing the floor.
No.
Unless we're down by 75 or up by 75 and really want to embarrass them.
Yeah.
And then it's like you're taking minutes away if you're staggering those guys on the second unit because neither of them is starting.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're staggering them on the second unit, you're taking minutes away from someone who maybe provides more defense. You know, it just, if we didn't have Lou, I love it, but I just don't.
And once again, I love the idea of it. I still don't love the on-court product.
Yeah, good jersey to have, but not a good on-court product. We have the final question of the night, and this is the perfect time to be asking this question.
All right.
At Max Power from across the pond. Hope he's doing well. Hope he's waking up right now when we're recording this. Is this year a failure if we don't get a chip?
To who?
I think he meant kind of in the grand scheme of things.
Gotcha.
And I would say no. First year they're together. We're guaranteed another year after this. Because and I'm going straight by the question, which is if we don't win a chip. So in my brain, in this scenario.
Are we still making the finals in this scenario?
In my scenario, we're making the finals or we're losing in 7 games the Western Conference Finals and the best Western Conference Finals in the last blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
not making out of the first round of the playoffs, failure. Honestly, maybe not making out of the second round, quasi, something to think about vibes. Just in terms of like being bummed.
Not making a Western Conference final to me would be a failure.
Yeah, because, but like winning a chip at this point, no. We can't have change of expectations.
There's just too many variables. I don't know. It's really hard. It's really hard to tell.
We don't know how the load management pattern is going to work. There's too many things. No failures. Anything else?
If we don't get a chip, I think a key piece of this team might no longer be here.
Maybe even before.
Maybe even before.
We're going to talk about that at some point. We've got a busy week with all these games.
We do.
Anything else?
No, that'll do it. Check us out on Twitter, like we said, at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler.
We gotta give a shout out to Dodd Squad. He gave us a 5-star review. He does some pretty good basketball breakdowns. Check out his Twitter.
Also, if you're not subscribed, please, you know, give us a subscription.
Give us a shout. Say what's up.
We're on iTunes. You can always leave a rating and a review.
We'll read it.
We'll read it. We'd love to know what you think, good or bad. You know, we're trying to work on it.
Coming up for Wednesday's episodes, we're going to have poll results from Clipper Nation on What You Say Wednesday. Topic I will think of as I walked the bus at very early in the morning. We're going to have a preview of the game against the Celtics where Kawhi probably might play.
Where Kawhi will be a Clipper.
He will be a Clipper. You know what? You nailed it. And of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, thank you so much for listening. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.